afternoon. Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer.
Ta-da!
Yeah. And Pape Machinery is located up on Twinview Boulevard, up 3119 Twinview Boulevard, just south of Phil's Propeller. And they've got tractors, mowers, you name it. They have it in stock and ready to go. Go by and see them. They also have a service and parts department that is ready to serve you. Or give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. .com.
Yeah. Whoever, I forget what commercial that was, but yeah, we're all ruined after that. So, we managed to navigate daylight savings time today.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, last year we were here an hour early.
Yeah, twiddling our thumbs.
Way better than an hour late, though.
What is this all about?
So that would make it November the 7th, 2021. So we have an extra hour of the Biden administration today. Let's go, Brandon.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And we're talking about marijuana again today because our friend Dr. Philip Drum, he has sent us some experts, and so we spoke about marijuana last week. There is a tab at the top of the website at wethepeopleradio.us. There is a tab that says pot. It's got all the shows kind of clustered on there, and I'm going to add some other information on there that I got from one of our guests because it's really good. So for everybody who thinks if we just legalize it, it'll be great, and we'll get a lot of tax revenue, and everyone will apply for a business license mm-hmm. and do that. Yeah, we invite you to come to Northern California and just go for a little drive, and it doesn't really matter where you go. It's there.
It's there, and yeah, you can get shot at. You can get run off public land. You can
land. They could move in next door to you, and then your property will become, well, I don't know, you know, I was going to say your property become worthless, but that's not really what happens. It becomes like strangely valuable, but unlivable.
But, yeah, a little bit dangerous. I mean, the clientele up there is,
it brings with it a lot of crime.
Yeah, a lot of crime.
It's like bringing in a prison, but all the doors are open.
Yeah.
Boo.
They have some really nice gates, though.
I mean. I love the smell of plastic in the afternoon. Oh, my goodness. So our guest today, she's written a couple books. I'm going to start with that because I think they're fun. I posted those on the site for today. The Pied Pipers of Pot. Say that three times fast. The Pied Pipers of Pot, Protecting Youth from the Marijuana Industry. So our focus today is kids, I believe. And her other one, On Marijuana, A Powerful Examination of What Marijuana Means to Our Children, Our Communities, and Our Future. So obviously these are things that we care about, and we hope you do too, especially the kid thing, because that's, I don't know, that's the part that's almost fallen by the wayside. We have a lot of people who think, oh, well, you know, it's a choice and blah, 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 blah. One of the shows I'll highlight that we did a while back was with Libby Stout. Dr. Libby Stout, she is in Colorado. And so if you think that it has no effect, if marijuana has, you know, no effect, and Dr. Stout would beg to differ. And she is an expert on the brain and how marijuana changes that and what it does. And last week we heard from our This Is Your Brain on Marijuana. That's what we did with her. And last week we heard all about how it can screw up your whole family. We had a gal on whose brother was hooked on pot as a youngster.
Very young.
14, 13, yep. 14. And then moved on to other drugs and in and out of jail 18 times. And he actually figured it out at one point. And they do teaching and training. So mm-hmm. It didn't have the horrible, sad ending of dying somewhere in a, you know, back alley. So anyway, there's a lot of information. And I think people who aren't, don't have this in their face, either because it's their neighbors or they have a family member or something like that. I don't know. Seems like it doesn't affect you, but I would challenge you that it does affect you. So, without further ado, we have Pamela McCall. She's been actively involved in the cannabis conversation for over 10 years, authoring both The Pied Pipers of Pot, as I said, and On Marijuana. our communities, and our future. She was called to testify before the Food and Drug Administration's scientific data and information about products containing cannabis or cannabis-derived compounds. It was a public hearing May 31st, 2019. She was a speaker at the National Cannabis Forum held in Los Angeles, also in 2019, where she presented on the tobacco industry strategy and their relation to the advertising associated with cannabis advertising. Yeah, see, that's a whole big one. We haven't talked a whole lot about that, so I'm glad.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of that going on.
Glad we're headed there.
Pretty much every day you'll hear it on the radio.
She has attended numerous, and I don't know what this is, and I meant to look it up, UNODC, she'll tell us that, in Vienna and New York, participating in youth drug prevention, and testifies before the Canadian Government Task Force on Legalization. And since we've legalized, I would guess that all this has just sort of blown up, and it was supposed to make everything better, but we know the growing industry, the illegal growing, has gone up. I don't even know.
Oh, tenfold.
I was going to say that, and it's like, I think it might be more. Anyway, so she's a publisher and an author by profession and a subject of global media attention in 2012. Okay, Bill, I know you haven't had a chance to read it. Guess why she got famous in 2012? This is so great.
She didn't perish with the Mayans on the, no.
Oh my gosh, that's a really good answer.
Yeah.
No, she took the smoking of the pipe out of the classic Christmas poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Ah.
Heretic.
Heretic.
So, kind of interesting, like little things that you, I guess, Stephen Colbert, or Colbert, whatever he is, Barbara Walters and a bunch of others got in on the controversy. So, kind of fun. Pamela, nice meeting you.
On your show.
So what made you want to take Santa's pipe out? I got to start there because, well, I know we'll get busy and forget.
Well, I was working on the smoke-free movies campaign, and I wanted to do something that would, you know, bring it to the public, the conversation about how we really need to do more to protect kids from tobacco. And I am a publisher, and I thought, what can I do here? And I went to the library, and I found this book, you know, on smoking leprechauns and little children's books and, you know, Three Little Bears and everything else. And then I bumped into Santa Claus and I went, bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo. I mean,
yeah, you got some attention on that.
So I wrote a little media release, I think it was 500 words, and I put it out there, and the next thing I knew, it went absolutely mental all over the world.
Oh my gosh, they were on you?
I
looked at some of the old media that came out about that, and I was like, oh geez. That was like release the beast.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I actually was hit over the head with one of my books by someone who called me a heretic.
Oh, well, there you go.
Heretic.
See, I can channel a heretic like nobody else.
Yeah, you could have been a blasphemer, you know. I mean,
that was later.
Oh, that's later.
I got an email from someone who said she was the head elf of the snowman factory, and the only wreath she wanted to see at Christmas was one on my grave.
Oh, God, I did read that.
Which the New York Post put on page 4. They asked me for it. So I said, sure, you can have it. So, you know, it was a crazy story. And, you know, it's still, I'm still really involved in that campaign. It's still ongoing, and you know, the book's still on Amazon, does really well, and it's just, you know, a conversation I like to have about how to keep our kids safe from these predatory industries.
Yeah. No kidding. It's just, well, the marijuana thing, I don't know. I do know. It just was ridiculous. They started in with the whole medical thing, and I thought, are you kidding me?
Yeah, the whole track. I mean, it's, I find it somewhat amazing that, their advertising, philosophy is even allowed. I mean, it's, you don't see it on television, but you
We finally
do.
Got the billboards taken off of I-5 up here.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Yeah, there are, industries associated with that are still on billboards, and, the actual co-ops are still advertising on the radio, which I guess so do alcohol, but it's just amazing to me that they haven't really got on the bandwagon and restricted some of this stuff, because it is, a lot of it is pointed at the youth. And
well, I mean, yesterday the front page of the Los Angeles Times was 100% propaganda. It was a story how, you know, Normal and everybody were celebrating their 25th anniversary of, you know, legalizing marijuana for medical purposes and in the state of California. And, you know, it was just a 100% propaganda. It was an incredible story, and it was not factually based. And, you know, it's out there. And the fact that the marijuana industry and the lobby, you know, I thought about this yesterday. I thought, I knew it was going to come to your show, and I was thinking, what's the word? Like, the fact that they don't just argue with us, they actually pervert the truth. And mm-hmm. I think that's the word. It's perversion. So we in the tobacco, the anti-tobacco movement, came up with denormalization. It was the gold standard. And we had huge success with the truth campaigns when we went after the industry and we denormalized them. And we used language that denormalizes the behavior of the industry, not the individual who uses. And that's really what we can credit to the break, you know, to the breaking down of tobacco in part in the 80s and 90s was this enormous campaign called denormalization. Well, the marijuana industry comes along and they call themselves normal. That's their name.
Oh, that's right. Because what is that? National something or other?
Yes. They're
for marijuana legalization?
Yeah. And so if we say, like, you know, with a driving issue, okay, people like, you know, experts like Dr. Phil Drum will come on and say, you know, the scientific studies show that this is what happens when you drive and you use marijuana. Well, they come on and they say it makes you a better driver. That's called perversion. It's not arguing with the science. It's they'll say that it's good for all kinds of things, which it has, even COVID, and they have no scientific, you know, backup for that.
Are they actually saying that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I hadn't heard that one.
Yes.
Why? Because you won't know. Is it like the, what is it, the Irish blessing? They won't know until you're dead till 10 hours later or something?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's the devil.
And one of the sickest ones, you know, the two sickest and most perverted ones I can think of are PTSD, because you know, we know it's linked to depression, anxiety, and suicide, and that's CBD and THC. And yet they go out there and say it helps PTSD, which is picking on like very vulnerable populations of people. And they do the same thing with marijuana and pregnancy. They say that it's good for morning sickness. Well, no, it's not. It's contraindicated by the Surgeon General of the United States of America for pregnancy, but also it increases your cycle of vomiting, the condition of hypernemesis, cannabis hypernemesis syndrome, which is, you know, ongoing vomiting. So that they've gone after people in this perverted way. There's case after case of this, and example after example that I could show you how they've got ahead of us, and they said the exact opposite of what the science says to sort of. Then we come along and they just scream reefer madness at us, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's very sophisticated propaganda.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that they can promote that with pregnant women when they know pretty much any drug is going to have an effect on the fetus as much as it does the mother. Well, what's that THC doing to the baby?
And well, sure, but it's not just THC, it's CBD.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And this is why I testified at the FDA.
Yeah.
If you look at Epidiolex, the synthetic derivative of or CBD, you know, and the package insert says that it's contraindicated if people have any kind of suicide ideation or history of it, but it can cause suicide. So what are we doing here? Like, that is a clinical study that came up with that result that needs to be paid attention to, especially in the pregnant population, because we have seen an increase in suicides in pregnancy since 2000 in the United States. And so no woman should be using CBD in pregnancy or THC, not only, you know, for the health and well-being of the baby, but also for her own sake. And, you know, and I mean, Meghan Markle, you know, the Duchess of Sussex, when she was on that show with Oprah and said that she considers committing suicide in 7 months of pregnancy, the question that should have been asked is, are you using anything? You know, there was a complete opportunity to do some really good public health messaging, right? Like I have no idea if the woman was using it, but that was a missed opportunity for Oprah to not have done that. And it is a conversation we all need to have.
See, and they don't want to have that conversation because it kind of blows the whole narrative. All these people that have pitched this as a
medicine,
as a it doesn't harm anybody. I when we come back, I'd like to do more on the CBD part of it because that's how it's defaulting now. Now it's like, well, okay, THC might be bad, but you know, CBD is harmless and it's really good for you and it's in everything and you should give it to your dog and you should do this and that and the other. And it's like, okay, I guess I mean, I'm not a scientist. I don't know exactly what they're doing with that, but it seems bad. So, it would be awesome if you would give us the 411 on that. Our guest is Pamela McCall. She, I don't know, the title that I like the best is The Pied Pipers of Pot. protecting youth from the marijuana industry. I mean, how do you go wrong there? Perfect title. Oh, my gosh. So you are listening to We the People. You can find everything about this show. You can find archives that stretch back 10, 11 years, whatever it is. I think it's 11 years. And they're all free to listen to, and they are uninterrupted. So you can get those at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body.
Like a million alcohol and drug songs out there. I still have some left over from last week. They're such toe tappers, but they have such a bad message. What the hell? It's like drugs. You like them, you shouldn't do them.
Isn't it great? Don't do it.
Darn it. I'm going to stop with the music, though. I mean, you know. Okay, so Pamela, what is the deal with the CBD? Because that just seems like the... That's like the clean, you know, that's like the clean version. It's not pot.
Well, you know, you've got Mitch McConnell really to blame for all of this with the hemp, with the farm bill, which sort of opened the floodgates to this. And when you look, when you're trying to figure this out, I mean, there's all kinds of people that you can talk to, but the sources to go to would be the FDA, right? The federal government, the Secretary of Health, the scientific research, okay, that's how you really get your, you know, the goods on this stuff. And Epidiolex, which is this CBD synthetic product that was a drug which was created for very rare cases of epilepsy in children, they have a side effect profile which was clinically studied. And then they write a side effect profile that has to go out with the drug. You've probably gone to your pharmacist and got a prescription. They give you a piece of paper and say, these are the things to watch out for. They have a legal group.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right, sure. So all drugs are like that. So legitimate pharmaceuticals. And so they have a side effect profile. And in that side effect profile, they say that some people have thoughts about suicide while taking Epidiolex. Stay alert to changes in your mood or symptoms, right? To make sure your Epidiolex is safe for you, make sure that you don't have liver disease, drug or alcohol addiction, that you shouldn't have depression, mood, or mood disorders, or have any suicide or thoughts or actions. Some people have thoughts about suicide while taking Epidiolex. Your doctor needs to check in with you on regular visits about this, right? This is all in the package insert. Like, no one should be taking this without any kind of CBD without having a liver function test. And how many people are going to go do that?
That's
how many
zero.
People who are drinking alcohol, who are alcoholics, are taking CBD?
Oh. You know,
this is the crisis. And, you know, this is the huge thing down the road where, you know, I'm 63 years old. Lots of my peers drink a lot of alcohol, a lot of wine. They self-medicate, you know. And I think about women my age who do that, and I go, they're all out there taking CBD to sleep. Like, what are you doing? You know, you're doing a drug that you don't even understand what you're taking. Or you're giving it to your pet. Like, really? Where's the science that backs that up, right? But here's the really scary part. Here's the Secretary of Health. Okay? CBD can cause liver injury. CBD, male reproductive toxicity, or damage to the fertility in males or male offspring of women who have been exposed.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
That is incredible. And the caveat, of course, is that this is reported in animal studies, but in bio research, the gold standard, again, for human trials, is that it has to have been shown to be safe in animal trials first. You can't ethically advance the studies if you found in animals that it's doing damage to them. So,
oh, that's the first.
That's the international rule of human studies.
So sure, that would make sense.
They can't cross. They can't cross the bar. They can't meet this bar. So this stamp, this is the warning, right? If you are doing CBD, you better be careful what happens to your kids and your grandchildren, because some of this stuff is generational damage. So you're talking not only your children, but possibly your children's children. And that's just CBD. Turn around to THC, and we've got the whole other crisis in pregnancy and the pregnant population and in children. And, I mean, I'm a child's rights activist. That's what I am. And so I really care about children and their outcomes. But I also, as a woman, really care that women have a right, and men, to their reproductive health, and that they need to be told what they're doing to themselves that could possibly hurt their chances of having children, because we know that THC and sperm morphology and infertility and miscarriage, it's all, you know, tied up with a bunch of science. We've got that. But what we're missing is the public education where people get to know that. And usually, I think in science, it's 18-year lag. Like in tobacco, it was 15, 18 years before the public actually got it. We had the science. But we've had the science for decades. And so what you've really got, and this is why my book is about protecting us from the pot industry, is we have a diabolical industry out there who are coming after us. And they don't care about science. And they'll do everything they can to shut people like me down. And I've had lots of personal threats, very serious ones. So, you know, that's really what we're up against. It's a war on science, and it's a war on people like me and people like Phil Drom and everybody else who get death threats and all kinds of things happen to us, you know. So, you know, it's a really scary time. I really think it is.
Well, there's so much money involved, and they like to pretend that it's just, it's all about health and that sort of thing. But I think you'd have to be kind of stupid to not figure out that it's a ton of cash.
Yeah. Well, they also, it's not just cash. Like, it is, but it's also political. And when you look back at the history of the tobacco, the marijuana movement, right, the whole campaign was set up to be anti-establishment, anti, you know, the cannabis culture, that's what they call it.
Sure.
Right? Anti-conservative, anti-Republican, anti-science, you know. I mean, all these people who they've got on these drugs now, THC and CBD, it's out there in the land of quackery from the 19th century. These people have been brainwashed to think that they don't need science anymore. I don't know how they
Well, they've been told it's natural, and you know, it's to tie your earlier comment to it. Every time you bring this up, I don't know about you, but every time I bring it up, you get the whole, well, you know, alcohol is legal and alcohol damages people, and, you know, you guys aren't doing anything about that.
Sure we are.
Yeah,
sure,
exactly.
We are. 1 in 10 people between ages 24 and 64 who dies from alcoholism. We want another drug. But they're different drugs. One cannot, it's such a phony argument.
It is a phony argument.
To do that, because, like, I always say, okay, when was the last time you got secondhand smoke standing next to somebody drinking a beer? Like, they're different drugs. They have different impacts. You know, they're all dangerous, and they all have to be weighed on their own, not merits, but
on their own lack of merits.
But, you know, but it's back to this whole thing, and what I find, what happened to me was, I was in New York, and I was doing some book work, and not related to marijuana at all. And I found a book on marijuana, and I picked it up. It was free. I was at a book expo, and they gave away all these promo books, of course. And I was on a plane, and I read it. And I got so mad because I could see the tobacco industry in the marijuana industry. And I thought, they're doing it all over again. They're playing us as fools. They're playing on our compassion. And they're targeting vulnerable populations, just like tobacco did. Tobacco, when men started to be told that it could cause heart attacks, they went after women, and they went after children. And that's what the marijuana industry did. I want to just show you, I want to read this one little study for you just quickly. It came out last year. It's the association of cannabis retailer proximity and density with cannabis use among pregnant women in Northern California after legalization. And the results of the study were women who used cannabis who were pregnant were younger, more likely to be black, and less likely to be Asian. They lived in areas with greater neighborhood deprivation, and underwent prenatal screening later in pregnancy. These people are being targeted. That's an easy market for these people to sell marijuana to, especially in pregnancy. I find that vile. So that's the kind of, you know, these kind of things are what people like me, why we do what we do, because I see vulnerable populations being targeted, and I find that offensive. And I think that if you can do something about it, then you need to do that. And that's why I do this as a volunteer, many hours of my day.
Well, and it's being promoted as something that is a natural alternative. You know, this is a natural alternative, and my perspective on it, or vantage point, I should say, is the growing, and the idea that this stuff is natural.
What does that mean? Like, I don't go outside and suck on a willow tree.
You also don't suck on a willow tree that's been sprayed with spray adhesive and carbofuron and a bunch of other stuff. It's like,
no kidding.
If people had any idea, like, I mean,
you have to pay extra for that. Come on,
honest to God.
But we live in an age of modern medicine. Like, what the pot industry has done is taken us back to the 19th century.
Yeah,
and that people went along for the ride. I find
when cocaine was
incredible.
Awesome and we put it in drinks and sold it to children. Yeah.
But, you know, in the United States, I mean, quack is still illegal. It's still a legal term. Quackery, the advancing of a product for medicinal purposes with no scientific research is called quack. It is a crime. And yet I don't see anybody being charged with quack.
Where's that happening?
Quackery is a legal term. And
really?
You can't say that CBD... cures arthritis if it doesn't.
Do they say that?
Sure, they say. Well, what
I mean,
I'm
not as smart on the CBD thing, but the thing that always blows my mind is, and I know people, you know, oh yeah, we give CBD to our dog, and I'm like, what?
Why?
What are you doing?
I always know what I do when they say that to me. I tell them the story about my husband, what he did. He gave our dogs so much garlic to kill the fleas, that he killed our dogs because too much garlic in a dog, their blood doesn't coagulate anymore. So both our dogs bled out. So,
oh my gosh,
He killed the fleas, but he sure killed the dogs. So
holy cow!
You might want to do CBD, right?
For
your little flea problem.
I'll never forget that one.
There goes your liver.
What the hell?
Well, so get it together, people. Like, you just don't take advice from somebody, you know, selling snake oil, CBD, or willow. I mean, go back to modern medicine, go back to evidence-based scientific research, and you know, save yourself. I mean, and save your children and your grandchildren from all of this. I mean, I find the pregnancy issue is huge for me. I actually was really actively involved. I was the lead on taking down a university study that was recruiting pregnant women for marijuana studies, and they were trying to say that no one had ever studied this, and that they wanted women who were using it for morning sickness, and they went pretty close to promoting it. And so I did everything I could, including attending a meeting at the White House to get that study repealed. And I just found out they haven't done anything, but they've got over $450,000 in a second round of funding. So I'm still on them, but you know, We've got the science, and the Surgeon General of the United States of America stood up and told everybody, which is absolutely the highest level you can get on legitimate statements. They vet those statements for years before they ever say anything. And his statement was that it is increased risk, 50% increased risk of low birth weight. And we all know that low birth weight is the number one cause of death in infants. So there you go, people. You know, we don't need, like the LA Times yesterday was screaming and yelling, we need more studies. No, we don't. We have the studies on low birth rate, and that's all we need to shut this down and say the pregnant population, which is, you know, large.
Yeah.
I think 50% of pregnancies aren't, not 50%. What's the percentage of pregnancies that aren't known? People don't expect they're going to be pregnant. I can't remember. But there's the pregnant population or the child bearing population is enormous, right? 18 or 15, I guess 15 years old to 50, really. You know, unless they're protected, no one should be using any of this stuff.
I just think that whole thing is crazy. Now, the CBD stuff, is all over the place. I mean, that seems to be in a lot of things. It's in lotion. It's in, I mean, everywhere you look, it's like, with CBD. And you can get that pretty much anywhere.
Oh, yeah, they sell it.
Is there any kind of control
everywhere.
On that?
Nobody's regulating. It's not regulated anywhere. No one's regulating that. Nobody. Who's doing that? Nobody. Nobody's regulating any of this.
That's
the terrible thing about all of this. It's just out there. You know, and that's Mitch McConnell. That's who did it. So, you know.
Because that was part of the hemp bill?
Yes.
No.
That's how they got this all to happen. This is how it all became, you know, out there. But I think.
See, in our regional foresters, I know a bunch of them, and out here, the regional foresters just go bananas when they you start talking about hemp, because here we're not allowing forest products to be processed, and I mean, you don't have to water a forest, you don't have to fertilize a forest, it doesn't take agricultural ground out of production. And hemp does all these things. Hemp is extremely, I think it's just basically a Trojan horse for the dope industry, actually.
Absolutely, for THC as well.
Because yeah.
How do you know, how much THC is in these CBD products, really? You don't know, so.
No, I had somebody, I went to get my hair cut, and I was kind of just standing there waiting, and one of the other haircutters was talking to her dad. And he had to be, well, late 70s, I guess. And he was just kind of not making any sense. And I thought, oh, man, he's probably got some Alzheimer's or dementia or something, and was just acting really weird. And she was looking really alarmed. And then he said, well, I guess I'm going to go, because he was telling her about his dog. That the dog ran away, and she's like, Dad, you haven't had a dog for like 5 years. And I kind of came in on this partway through, and I was like, well, this isn't good. And then I'm thinking, geez, who's driving this guy? Cause he's like, well, I guess I'm going to go. And he walked and he turns around. No one else went with him. And he goes out the door. I go, is somebody driving him? She goes, no, he's driving himself. I go, does he have dementia?
Oh, no.
And, she said, no, but I think there's something going on because he hasn't had a dog, and she listed off all this stuff. Okay, so I go back a month later, right? And I said, I just kind of didn't want to ask. What happened with your dad? She goes, oh, my God. He was taking these CBD sleeping pills.
No.
And they gave him, instead of, I have no idea what the measurement is, but, like, instead of a 10, it was, like, 100. And so he was just wickedly high. He was absolutely high off his rear end and had no idea what was going on. Was hallucinating about dogs he used to have
and driving.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was legal.
Oh,
you know, it's legal.
Terrible.
He didn't even have to, have a doctor involved. It was just like the guy at the he was eating some, and then here we go again with the the delivery system. He was eating some sort of like gummy bears or. It was something like that, and instead of the blue ones, they gave him the green ones, and apparently the green ones are like 10 times stronger, and he had no clue.
Well, you're guaranteed to come back and get more that way.
If you could figure out where you were in the first place.
If you can figure out where you bought
them.
If you
figure out if your dog's alive or not.
Yeah, something I've been thinking about a lot is that during COVID, we were all waiting around for evidence from science about the vaccines, right? We waited around.
Yeah.
We were all waiting for the clinical trial, and they went through trial. Everybody in the world understood it. First trial, second trial, third trial, we heard about it, right? And everybody was waiting around. And yet when it comes to marijuana, they don't seem to make the equation that, okay, it's a drug, we need to have clinical trials, we need to have evidence, we need to know how safe it is, we need to know our dosing, we need to know all this. It's amazing to me. And the other hugely important thing, I think, during COVID that I really found relevant was how the world got the message that we are not onto ourselves, in that what we do influences other people, right? If you wash your hands, if you breathe on somebody, if you wear a mask, if you, whatever you do, right? You have an influence on other people around you, and you could harm someone else, right? But when it comes to marijuana, it's very libertarian.
Oh, yeah, it's all about you.
It's
all about you and your freedom to make decisions, blah, 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 and it's like, who is buying this? And I think really, I don't know if it's so much who's fallen for it, there's that, because I think there are a lot of new users since they started with all this, like a lot of new users.
Oh, they went, the marketing from the tobacco industry, too, it's up for the first time in 20 years. So, no, these industries took advantage of that.
Yeah, and the rest of us, then the people who aren't involved in it, we're kind of like, tied to the chair on the sidelines. We don't seem to be able to weigh in. So we're ineffective as opposition. Let's make sure we get to that at some point during our time with you. We've got to take a really quick break. We'll be right back. Our guest is Pamela McCall. We are talking about marijuana, its effect on kids, and something that we really haven't probed before is the whole CBD angle. So you can find more about us and archives, and you can send the show to your friends at wethepeopleradio.us. If you ever turn your book into a musical.
Which one?
Like maybe you could use that one. Oh, God. That's going to be maybe that'll just be our Mitch McConnell theme song. How's that?
Well, I mean, they worked at it for, since 1970. It was really the Body Shop. It was what's her name? Anne Roderick, the woman who started Body Shop. And she really went to town to try and get that whole thing to happen, to get her hemp movement going. And, you know, it took them a few decades, that's for sure, but they got there. You know?
Now they're working on the banking and taking it off the schedule and all that because, well, now we've all learned, right? It's great. Yeah. Great for everybody.
Here come the magic mushrooms and everything else, too. So it's, it's a scary world, that's for sure. And I just know I don't have teenagers right now. I have a brand-new granddaughter. But I must say, if I had a conversation with a teenager in my world, you know, you just have to be really, really strong in your messaging and just give them the facts and just explain to them, you know, what this thing does and use reliable sources and have those tough talks. You know, I know that research shows that strong parenting and strong messaging definitely helps in a child staying away from drugs. So I kept my kids off drugs. I think that a lot of these parents these days sort of think, I got to respect my kid and I don't know how I wade into this conversation, and they hum and haw around about it, but you really have to be strong in your messaging and just no go, you know, no car keys, no nothing, you know, unless I test your vape pen and see what you're doing. Like, you're not gonna do this.
Whose kid gets to have a vape pen? Can you imagine? I can imagine if I would have brought something like that home and said, hey, you know, besides the fact I had terrible asthma, my parents would have probably had me committed just for lack of mental acuity. But
stupidity, yeah.
It's like, uh-oh, the first one's retarded. Good thing we had four more.
Yep.
But, God, I just, they're running around with a vape pen? Really?
Yeah, no, I know. It's so pathetic. I always think it's just so unhuman. It's just we're supposed to breathe through our lungs. That's the essence of life. And I can't. It just seems so contradictory to breathing that it makes no sense to me, but hey.
Yeah, no kidding. And
it looks really bad. I don't know. I just think it looks really bad.
It looks super scary. They're in a car, and it looks like they have a little forest fire going on the driver's side.
It looks really stupid to me because I just find it really,
yeah.
I don't know, I shouldn't use that word. Maybe it's offensive to some people, but I just find it really, really.
Well, like I carry a nebulizer in my purse, and I've had people ask me, is that vaping? I'm like, yeah, it's a little box the size of a
couple of matchboxes.
Yeah, it's just kind of the size of a juice box, maybe, kind of a tall juice box. And I'm like, yeah, no. Because does this look convenient or fun? I mean, I don't know. I guess anything looks convenient and fun, and everybody wants to get on board. It's like, there you go. Make nebulizing awesome.
We see all these parents using, too, and there's a direct link between parental use and child use. So you know, it's just sympathizing towards the product. That's the issue. And I think it's just really tough, you know, to be a parent these days and get these kids through all these influences. And you know, so many, you know, it's the whole, the more people do it, the more people do it. Because
sure.
It's not, people, the tobacco industry use that splendidly with the Joe Camel thing. But it's not that they want to be revolutionary. They want to be part of their peer group and they want to fit in. And if everyone's doing it, or at least their peer group and their boyfriend is, then they're going to start in on it because they don't want to be the guy on the other side of the street. They want to be with their group. That's the nature of teens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they want to look all grown up. I mean, that's what they want to do. And this is an adult behavior.
Well, and the CBD thing is kind of, I don't know, promoted or widely believed or both, to be not pot. So it's got no, I mean, okay, so if it doesn't do anything, why would you be doing it? That's always my first question. But how do they get away with that?
Well, and the bigger question is, how did they get away with that, as in the government or any other kind of agency, not doing massive public education on male fertility? Because we know that THC is linked to testicular cancer. We know the issues with fertility, with sperm morphology. We know down the road we're going to have more, but we've got some science on DNA chromosomal damaging. You know, so we know this. So I think that these young men have a right to know that. I think they have a right to know their fertility is at risk, and I think that nobody is telling them that, and I think that that's a really serious problem.
That is a serious problem. God.
Not only may not be able to have children, you may have children that have deformities. You may have children who are spontaneous abort. You may have children who are miscarried. You have a right to know that. I think you have a right. I think a fundamental human right to know that that product could do that to you.
And that you're, you know, that you're potentially signing up for something at a later date that is crushing and life-changing.
Absolutely. You know, and I think women, too, need to understand this male reproductive aspect of it, because they need to have those conversations with their spouses. They were saying that 50% chance of miscarriage, double the risk of miscarriage if a partner uses once a week.
Oh, wow.
So I think women, you know, because a lot of women, the miscarriage issue, you know, a lot of women carry a lot of, you know, trauma from this. And I think that we need to discuss the male role in all of this, too. And I think that that needs to come into this conversation. And I think mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, fathers need to have these kind of conversations with their kids and say, you know, you need to protect your reproductive health. You know, I mean, imagine having a young man with testicular cancer. I mean, they don't die from it anymore, but what a horrible thing.
Yeah. Life-changing. You
know? Well, there's enough things out there that affect that. Why introduce something intentionally?
Right.
Well, and they're all drinking IPAs, which apparently gives them breasts. So, you know, yeah, history isn't going to be kind to this this time. And then we learned from Libby Stout. She had all the science and the pictures and all of it that when they're using pot in the household, even if it's just a baby that's there. So, I mean, I would submit that kids begin watching their parents, obviously, at the very, very beginning. But maybe you could get away with saying, well, you know, it's a baby. They don't even know what we're doing. You know, we'll quit later. That's wiring, hardwiring their brain for drug use in the future.
Well, sure it is. But also 27% of the people who die from secondhand smoke are infants. Babies. Mm. So are they smoking in the marijuana in the home? Like, 27% of people who die from secondhand smoke are babies. Like, it's a really serious situation. You know, if you look at the Texas homicide data, marijuana is a prevalent drug in the people who perpetrated a murder on a child.
So, whoa, say that again?
The kind of stuff. The Texas homicide child data, fatality data.
I don't know about
shows that.
Okay.
The highest, over alcohol, over everything else, marijuana, overwhelmingly was the highest drug present in the perpetrator of that murder of that child.
Wow.
And that is stunningly horrific. But there are laws in every single state about parental substance use and child abuse. And if you are a pregnant woman, there are people who have a duty to report you. And then you get into the whole child welfare issue. You get into the whole custody issues. It's a horrific situation because, as we all know, this is an addictive substance. And so let's say you're using, but then you become pregnant and you can't quit. Let's say you do want to quit. Let's say you're not believing it's for morning sickness, which is erroneous. and dangerous. Let's say you just can't quit. You could have your child taken away from you. You could have child services on your doorstep. You know, and the duty to report can be like a doctor, a teacher, a neighbor. There are lots of people with the capacity to report, and they have a duty under law to report. So, you know, that's a whole other aspect of this, which is, you know, really upsetting for families and a really dangerous situation for people.
They've already, you know, identified cigarette smoke as very, very harmful to pregnant women. Why would they think that marijuana smoke is that much different?
Well, they've been promoted morning. This is this perversion I've talked about. This is the perversion of the marijuana industry, who said that it's good for morning sickness. And morning sickness is actually a healthy condition for women. It shows a healthy level of hormones. It's a normal thing that women go through in pregnancy. Signs that you don't have morning sickness is actually a sign something could be wrong. So that they've gone out there and sold this to women as a product to use for morning sickness is so wrong-headed and so dangerous, and it's just absolutely against the science that says it is not. It is contraindicated for pregnancy. No one should be using marijuana in pregnancy.
Nobody, in any form.
CBD, THC, smoked, edibles, anything. None of it. You know, they've been promoted, and there's an increased rate of women using. And this huge hospital study came out this week. It was 20 million people in this study, okay? This took them a long, long time to do. And it showed that for cannabis use disorder, hospitalizations had gone up from 2010 to 2018 significantly. And they also showed that there was a significant difference in the prevalence of almost every medical and psychiatric outcome between the people who were cannabis use disorder and those who weren't. Every single medical condition there was more incidence of. And the most startling one is the mood-related disorders was 57.94% for people with cannabis use disorder. And it was only 4.81% for people who didn't have cannabis use disorder. That is incredibly staggeringly important, because it's also an enormous drain on our healthcare system. That's just huge, what this costs the state to help all these people.
Terrifying.
And the study showed for vomiting, it went from 4.86% for cannabis use disorder and only 1.02% for people who didn't have it. So,
jeez.
You know, it's increasing it. So
we've got a lot more to cover. We have Pamela McCall as our hostage for the next hour. So she will tell us more. I wanted to get into the little bit of the difference between the edibles and the smoking and all that kind of jazz. And there's quite a bit to cover with this. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm having such a good time.